Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Think and Grow Rich Thursday, January 19th, 2012. It is a wonderful day to be alive. As we say many times on this call, today is the best day of our lives. Absolutely it is. Why? Because yesterday's gone, tomorrow's not here yet. Today is the day that we have within our hands to sculpt and mold and shape into the day we want it to be, and we can use it to contribute to the better futures that we all have lying in front of us. And this is a great way to start the day, to come on the call, to learn things that will allow us to be better, to learn, to grow, to change, to sculpt our philosophies, to shape our minds so that we can think like wealthy people think and act like wealthy people act and have more wealth, more health, more abundance, more prosperity in our lives. That is the purpose of the call, and I am fired up about it. So welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to turn the line.
You can't get so excited.
All right, I forgot to mute the lines. I appreciate the laughter and the feedback there on the line. So today, my friends, we're going to continue our discussion of the quality that is known as carbon, the character. It's the quality that is to the character of man as carbon is to steel, persistence. And we're continuing on with Chapter 9. In the book Think and Grow Rich, and we are honored, privileged, it will be our pleasure today to hear from a man who has experienced and applied persistence in his life through the formation, completion, success of several multi-million dollar businesses, a man who does not quit, a man I love, respect, and admire, Mr. Bill Hartranft. Bill, are you on the line with me, my friend?
Good morning, Paul. I really appreciate you, my friend. You're an leader extraordinaire. That's what I've been writing on that site, One World, One Goal, 124. Good morning, everybody. As I've been looking over what I'm going to read today from the book Think and Grow Rich, I think about how many times have we heard the black cloud over us has a silver lining. How does that apply to us? And boy, this what I'm about to read really is important to that. Every failure, everything we face. Lately, friends of mine have been talking to me about the last 15 years of my life after the assault in 1996, and that I went through. And what was the silver lining to that? And oh my God, the list is huge when you really look at it. And that's what you have to concentrate on when you deal through failure, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Every failure brings with it the seed of an equivalent advantage. Certainly, there are exceptions to this rule. A few people know from experience the soundness of persistence. They are the ones who have not accepted defeat as being anything more than temporary or a temporary setback. They are the ones whose desires are so persistently applied that defeat is finally changed into victory. We who stand on the sidelines of life see the overwhelmingly large number who go down in defeat, never to rise again. We see the few who take the punishment of defeat as an urge to greater effort. These, fortunately, never learned to accept life's reverse gear. But what we do not see, what most of us never suspect of existing, is the silent but irresistible power which comes to the rescue of those who fight on in the face of discouragement. If we speak of this power at all, we call it persistence. And let it go at that. One thing we all know, if one does not possess persistence, easy for me to say, one does not achieve noteworthy success in any calling. As these lines are being written, I look up from my work and see before me, less than a block away, the great mysterious Broadway, the graveyard of dead hopes, and the front porch of opportunity. From all over the world, people have come to Broadway seeking fame, fortune, power, love, or whatever it is that human beings call success. For me, I call success from within first before great successes come to us. Once in a great while, someone steps out from the long procession of seekers, and the world hears that another person has mastered Broadway. But Broadway is not easily nor quickly conquered. She acknowledges talent, recognizes genius, pays off in money only after one has refused to quit. Then we know he has discovered the secret of how to conquer Broadway. The secret is always inseparably attached to one word, persistence. The secret is told in the struggle of Fanny Hurst, whose persistence conquered the Great White Way. She came to New York in 1915 to convert writing into riches. The conversion did not come quickly, but it came. For 4 years, Miss Hurst learned about the sidewalks of New York from firsthand experience. She spent her days laboring and her nights hoping. When hope grew dim, she did not say, "All right, Broadway, you win." She said, "Very well, Broadway, you may whip some, but not me. I'm going to force you to give up." One publisher, the Saturday Evening Post, sent her 36 rejection slips before she broke the ice and got a story across. The average writer, like the average in other walks of life, would have given up the job when the first rejection slip came. She pounded the pavements for 4 years to the tune of the publisher's no, because she was determined to win. Then came the payoff. The spell had been broken. The unseen guide had tested Fanny Hurst, and she could take it. From that time on, publishers made a beaten path to her door. Money came so fast, she hardly had time to count it. Then the moving picture men discovered her. And money came not in small change, but in floods. The moving picture rights to her latest novel, Great Laughter, brought $100,000. That's a lot of money. That's equivalent to $1 million 100 years ago or even more. Said to be the highest price ever paid for a story before publication. Her royalties from the sale of the book probably will run much more. Briefly, now you have a description of what persistence is capable of achieving. Fanny Hurst is no exception. Wherever men and women accumulate great riches, you may be sure they first acquired persistence. Broadway will give any beggar a cup of coffee and a sandwich, but it demands persistence of those who go after the big stakes. Kate Smith will say, "Amen," when she reads this. For years she sang, without money, without price, before any microphone she could reach. Broadway said to her, "Yeah, come and get it, if you can take it." She did take it, until one happy day Broadway got tired and said, "Aw, what's the use? You don't know when you're whipped, so name your price and go to work in earnest." Miss Smith named her price. It was plenty, way up in figures so high that 1 week's salary is far more than most people make in a whole year. Verily, it pays to be persistent. And here is an encouraging statement which carries with it the suggestion of great significance. Thousands of singers who excel, Kate Smith, are walking up and down Broadway looking for a break without success. Countless others have come and gone. Many of them sang well enough, but they failed to make the grade because they lacked the courage to keep on keeping on, until Broadway became tired of turning them away. Persistence is a state of mind. Therefore, it can be cultivated. Like all states of mind, persistence is based upon definite causes. Among them, these. Now, here we go, folks. This is what we talked about yesterday, and these are important. Write them down, memorize them, get the book, underline them, whatever you have to do. A, definiteness of purpose. This is what we've talked about for weeks now. Knowing what one wants is the first and perhaps the most important step towards the development of persistence. A strong motive forces one to surmount any difficulty or many difficulties. I'm telling you, definite of purpose. We talked about it yesterday. If you were on the call yesterday, you heard my rant, how emotional I was yesterday about the definiteness of purpose. You must have it. It has to become a part of you. In order for you to fire on all 8 cylinders or 10 cylinders or 12, you have to have definiteness of purpose. Then the next most important one is desire, a white-hot burning desire. It is comparatively easy to acquire and to maintain persistence in pursuing the object of intense desire. That's what we talked about yesterday, intensity of desire. What is the fire that you have in your life? You're boxed up against the wall. You're out of money. You want to change your life. If I continue to do what I've always done, I continue to get what I've always got. It's not enough. So find what it is that gets you fired up, and that's your white-hot burning desire, and move forward. That's what I have to do. I'm no different than you. It's self-reliance. Belief in one's ability to carry out a plan encourages one to follow the plan through with persistence. Self-reliance can be developed through the principle described in the chapter on auto-suggestion. That's been huge. That's been huge in changing our lives. Definiteness of plans. I've always said, you know, once you have the vehicle, the company, once you have the vehicle to go with and you're secure in that and you feel safe with that, and once you've written your goals and once you've created your white-hot burning desire, you must write down your goals, definiteness of plans. Write them down. And why do I say that? My analogy is when you go to the grocery store and you're in your kitchen and you look around through your cabinets without making a list and then go to the grocery store, you end up buying 50, 60, 70% of the stuff you don't need. But while you're in your kitchen, if you write down a list of everything you need, even if you forget the list, you're still going to remember what you wrote down and have focus when you get to the grocery store, and then you'll buy 90% of what you need. That analogy is so true. I guarantee that happens to you. And that's why for focus, you need to write down your plans, your goals. Accurate knowledge. Knowing that one's plans are sound, based upon experience or observation, encourages persistence. Guessing instead of knowing destroys persistence. It's just what we were talking about a second ago. Guessing instead of knowing, guessing destroys persistence. You don't have to guess. You focus on what it is you want. Where do you see yourself in 10 years, 5 years, 1 year, 6 months, 3 months, 1 month, 1 week, 24 hours? Cooperation, sympathy, understanding, and harmonious cooperation with others tend to develop persistence. Build a mastermind group. That's straight from this book, mastermind group. Build a round table. Go out and take 6, 10, 12, 13, however many people, and make them your mastermind group. Make them your leaders. You know, those are the people that you directly work with. Those are the people you go to for advice. 2 heads are always better than 1, 3, 4, 5. I mean, so many ideas. Look at all the ideas come from this call, from people like Melvin, Paul, and Denise, and many others. Willpower, and this is Melvin's one. Willpower, the habit of concentrating one's thoughts upon the building of plans for the attainment of a definite purpose. This leads to persistence. I mean, I learned an awful lot from Melvin on this call when he talked about, you know, getting out of the easy stuff, your comfort zone of life, and going after the hard stuff in life. And that hard stuff will eventually become easy. You just have to do it. You keep doing it, and then it becomes easy. And then the stuff that was easy in the past becomes hard because you'd rather be making the calls and making all the money. Habit. Persistence is the direct result of habit. The mind absorbs and becomes a part of the daily experiences upon which it feeds. Fear, the worst of all enemies, can be effectively cured by forced repetition. Oh my God, it's like I'm saying this before we even read it here. That's great. Fear, the worst of all enemies, can be effectively cured by forced repetition. Courage. Everyone who has seen active service in war knows this. Before leaving the subject of persistence, take inventory of yourself. Determine in what particular, if any, you are lacking in this essential quality or qualities. Measure yourself courageously, point by point, and see how many of the 8 factors of persistence, you lack. The analysis may lead to discoveries that will give you a new grip on yourself. And Paul, that's where I'll end this. Just spending time on those 8, definiteness of purpose, desire, self-reliance, definiteness of plans. I mean, this has all been said in other words, and so, like I've said many times, you say it one way, I say it another. How it ever triggers your mind, the main thing is you have to do it. You have to do it. I mean, definiteness of purpose is like your definite chief aim. It has to become a part of you. In other words, I mean, the one thing that I can relate recently, and actually I was just talking to one of our team members last night, Patty, and we were talking about it, and definite chief aim. And what it was I needed to get my jaw fixed after the assault. It was broken in 3 different places, and the first time it was fixed, it wasn't right. I was still getting bad headaches, and so it became a part of me. I mean, I was on the phone every day calling doctors and finding out what I could find out about mandibular joints. Those are the joints that allow your lower jaw to move up and down on your face. Mine were broken, and they needed to be fixed, and I wanted to be able to teach again and be a trainer again. So it became my definite chief aim. It became a part of me. I was to stop at nothing, till I could figure out how I could use my mouth to yawn, talk, eat without, I mean, really severe headaches, folks, just up around the temples and in the ears and then up into the forefront of my head. Unbelievable explosive type headaches that I used to get. And then I went through another surgery, and then I went to another doctor, and then I started wearing applications, these mouth guards that would reshape my mouth at night, and wore those for years, and oh man, what a mess. I mean, if you don't like anything in your mouth, like I don't like anything in my mouth, that wasn't much fun. And I didn't stop. I didn't give up. Pain certainly was a motivator for me, but I still couldn't talk without cracking and clicking, and people could hear it, and they would cringe when they were next to me, and they could hear my jaw cracking and clicking, and it just it wasn't fun. And so I continued, and years went by. I mean, this didn't get a fix right away, but I never gave up. I never put it down, and it cost a fortune to do it, and my insurance company dropped me in 1998. They said, back with you. I didn't know they could do that, but they can. And so I had to come up with the money. So I was using monies that I had made years before to pay for all these things. And they were expensive. My jaw to this day probably cost close to over $500,000 to get it fixed. Some operations were $30,000, some were $25,000, some were $15,000, some were $50,000. In a couple of different operations. I never stopped. I had the desire to get it done. I had the definiteness of purpose. I had the definiteness of plans. I had accurate knowledge because I made sure I found out everything I needed to find out to accomplish this. Cooperation, sympathy, and understanding, and harmonious cooperation with others tend to develop persistence. Everybody around me was with me. Everybody knew what I was going through, and everybody wanted to see me succeed, and that's the same way in this business. Everything is the same here. Willpower, the habit of concentrating one's thoughts upon the building of plans for the attainment of a definite purpose. My plans were to finally, once and for all, get it fixed. And you know what? I mean, 6 operations, 6 attempts at fixing me, with the sixth one was the magic one. And the sixth one, after going to Los Angeles and different states and seeing a Paris doctor and seeing a German doctor, still it wasn't fixed. And finally I found a lady here, right here in Melbourne, Florida, who was very expensive, but I didn't care about expense at that point, even though I didn't have much money. And she spent literally months with me, months going over everything that needed to be going over with. And at first she thought she couldn't do it. But then she heard my story. She heard how passionate I was about this. She really started to believe in me. And she said, you know what? I didn't think I could do this. But you know what? After talking to you and hearing your passion and hearing your love for what you want to be able to do, I'm going to do everything in my willpower to help you. And as she started to go through definiteness of purpose and definiteness of plans and accurate knowledge and habit and willpower and persistence, she finally realized that, you know what, I can fix you, but it's going to cost a lot, 30 grand. And I didn't have 30 grand, so then I had to go through all these things, the same things we're talking about here, to figure out how to get that money. And I made that my definite chief aim. And on Valentine's Day 2011, I sat down in her chair, and she started the work. And all I know is I suffered horribly all of February, most of March, with all these different clamps and things in my mouth and whatnot. And when all that got taken off and it was all done, thank God, knock wood, I have not had any headaches, not one problem since I met this lady, and she believed enough in me and enough in herself to get the job done. And so there is tremendous accomplishment here for her, for me. And this can happen to each and every one of us on this call, because what we have to do is we have to take the desire, the dream, the goal that we want in our hearts and make it, let it consume you, and then apply these things we're learning in Think and Grow Rich and the wonderful things that Paul Hutchings is teaching us, and apply them and go for it, and you will have tremendous success. But if you're just on this call listening and you're not applying these things, and you're at home and say, okay, I'm doing 30 minutes of Think and Grow Rich every day and not taking the tremendous principles and techniques that Paul Hutchings shares with all of us every day, God bless his soul, then you're not going to make it. If you're not doing your auto-suggestion, if you're not doing your self-affirmations every single day, people, you know, call 6 months later and say, well, I'm not making it. Well, are you doing your self-affirmations every day? No. Well, people, you have to do those things. We're not telling you these things for a reason of just to listen to us and say, hey, great call, you got it. Not that we don't love that, don't get us wrong. But you have to do these principles. Find out how to do it. Get in touch with us. Get on the Facebook page, We Are Think and Grow Rich, and get on that stuff. Listen to it again. And the reason for that is, every time you listen to something, you're in a different frame of mind, a different state of mind, and it triggers different information from yourself, you know, your programming within you, and you're going to hear something different, and it's going to get you fired up every single time. So obviously this chapter has been certainly very close to my heart for me, and now I give it back over to my wonderful co-anchor and esteemed leader extraordinaire, 8 years in this business, or almost 8 years in this business, has proven himself 10 times over, and is an incredible man, runs a family of 4 children and a wife and a household, and runs this business and helps all of us out all the time, takes care of all of us, loves on us all the time, sending us stuff, doing 3-ways with us, doing, you know, countless webinars a week, countless of these calls a week. He is just really one of the most incredible people I've ever met. I love him to death, and I see a lot of myself in him, and that's what's inspired me to really get fired up back into this business again, the one and only, the great and wonderful Paul Hutchings.
Well, on that note, we'll see you guys later. Have a great day. Better end on that. Wow, that's powerful stuff, Bill. Thank you very much for those kind words, and thank you for those words of wisdom that you shared with everybody. You know, one of the things that I got out of your story with your jaw, many things, but one in particular is that that story really illustrates the beautiful truth that I mean, it's the whole reason that I started this call 18 months ago. And that truth is, this truth is what the human mind can focus on a consistent basis and develop desire behind, the human mind can achieve, regardless of whatever that goal might be. For you in your story, Bill, it was your jaw. Your desire was to get that jaw fixed, and you focused on it every day, and you had this desire behind it. And despite the monetary challenges, despite the doctors who couldn't fix it, despite the years that went by, you still had that white-hot burning desire and that major definite purpose. And what happened? Voila, you ran into a lady there in Melbourne, Florida, who was able to perform miracles for you and get that jaw fixed. And the stories are endless of people who select a major definite purpose, develop desire behind it, stick by it, are persistent with holding that thought in their minds, and are persistent and are able to achieve that goal. You know, for me, 18 months ago, just wanted to make enough money to provide for my family. I had this goal in mind, this number, and I read this book, Think and Grow Rich, and I learned about, well, you can't just have a weak desire. You can't just think about it from time to time. You can't be vague. You can't say, well, I just want enough to provide for my family. No, you got to be definite about it. You got to put a dollar amount on it. You got to put a date on it. And then you have to think about it every single day. And I'm so grateful for Napoleon Hill, who gave us the formula to write it out in a major definite purpose, and then to add that self-confidence formula. That is the formula. That is the formula for selecting that major definite purpose, for reminding ourselves on a daily basis, and then also developing desire behind it. And what happened for me, I set that first initial number, hit it, then doubled it, then tripled it. I mean, just absolute complete miracle to me that stuff happened in my life. And folks, it can happen for everybody if we will understand these principles and apply them. So one, again, select that major definite purpose. Two, develop desire behind it by reminding yourself on a daily basis, repetition of that major definite purpose. Put a little fire, put a little passion into it when you're repeating it to yourself. Put a little vision, put a little feeling into it, and you're going to develop that mere want, that mere wish. It's going to turn into a driving force that will not be stopped. Absolutely will not be stopped. Okay, it's one of the major secrets of this formula. It's one of the things we talk about every day. Despite all the other pieces of the puzzle that we talk about, we always go back to the major definite purpose, because it's that beautiful truth. What the mind of man can see and believe, he can achieve if he or she can focus on it consistently with persistence. And I did want to read one final quote that I thought of. It's by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and he said this, and it really goes along with the idea that Melvin was sharing with us the other day. He said, "That which we persist in doing becomes easier for us to do, not that the nature of the thing itself is changed, but that our power to do is increased." And how true that is, folks. If we'll persist in reminding ourselves of our major definite purpose, if we will persist in doing those things that maybe seem hard, getting up, getting on a call when we're not used to getting on a call, picking up the phone, talking to people about our business, our opportunity, those things that maybe seem hard in the beginning, which I guarantee they were hard for me too. Just 18 months ago, the phone looked like it was a 15-pound gorilla. I did not want to pick it up, but you know what? I had no choice. I had a family to support. I had dreams that needed to be realized, so I forced myself. It was hard, but I forced myself to start picking up that phone on a daily basis. Saturdays, I would come in my little office Saturday morning and pick up that phone, and it was hard, but I did it. And I changed. My power to do increased. And now all of that stuff, I can tell you with a big, just a big, huge smile on my face, is easy for me to do. And it's not because nothing changed about the act of picking up the phone, but Paul Hutchings changed and Bill Hartranft changed, and you're going to change. If we'll do those things that maybe seem difficult, they will become easier. So that being said, folks, thank you so much for being on this call. All right, star 6 will unmute your line. Would love to hear from you. If you want to come out and make a comment, add to the discussion, ask questions, the line is yours, star 6.
Good morning, my friends. I really, really want to talk about that edification. I got to tell you, that edification that Bill gave you this morning, it's a prime example when you're on a three-way call. That is one of the things that will separate who you sponsor that day. Okay? You're either going to sponsor the person on the line or you're going to sponsor yourself. But that right there is a prime example of what you should do when you introduce your upline and not the actual, not the other person. You want to edify your upline just like the way that Bill Hartranft just edified Paul. And that's the key right there to a three-way call. That's pretty much what I had to say this morning. Thank you very much.
Rick, great point. Thanks for pointing that out. And it's beautiful. That's a gem of wisdom that nobody even, you know, that wasn't even part of the subject of the call. But, you know, it's so true. So true. Thank you for that.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Rick.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say, I said all that stuff, because it's true, and because Paul is awesome, and you have to speak from your heart when you're speaking about somebody that you love and care about. And Paul's been awesome. We've become very close friends, not just because of this call, but because of what we're doing together. And he is awesome, and all of us know that. And it was just time that something was said nice about him, because he's always saying nice stuff about the rest of us. Paul?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Bill.
Can you hear me, Paul?
Yes, Melvin. Good morning.
Yeah, I just want to correct you on one thing there.
Yes.
You made mention that you had no choice.
Yes.
We always have a choice. In fact, that's what everybody has to realize, that the choice always exists, and our whole life consists of the choices we make. We can choose to, or we can choose not to. You chose to, and you implemented that thing called courage, and it's the courage that helps you overcome the fears, and that's the main problem that everyone has is fear, is thinking negative and thinking instead of thinking positive. And so What you did there is, in spite of all of that, you implemented the courage and you made the choice to go ahead and do it anyway, and that's the thing that moved you forward. And so every single person has that. Every single minute of the day, we're making choices. We're either making the right ones or the wrong ones that are taking us forward or taking us backward or keeping us exactly where we are. And that's what our life consists of. So we need to start making more of the right ones.
Absolutely. That very, very true, very good comments. And you're absolutely right. I did have a choice. And we all do. Absolutely. We all do. It's just a matter of, do you want the, for me it was, okay, either I go back and try to find a job and work under somebody's thumb and have my potential be suppressed for the rest of my life, or I find a way to overcome my fear and find a way to break through so that I can become self-reliant. And for me, the choice was obvious. I going back and finding that job was just not not where I saw myself. So I'm so glad that I did have a little bit of courage there and made the right choice.
But also, Paul, I mean, what really drove you, the driving force, was desire. You had three kids and one on the way, and your wife and your family, and you wanted things to be different. So you created that white, hot, burning desire in your belly, and that fire drove you to read every book and to look up every great leader that there ever was and to find out how they're doing this, because you had 6 years of failure. You had 6 years of stepping stones of learning. Failure, you call it failure if you want, but it was learning. And you learned from those failures. That's the silver lining. And
yeah,
then you took all that information and you created what you've created now. And it's phenomenal. And we all need to take a lesson from the experiences of Paul Hutchings. It's phenomenal.
I had what they call emotional leverage, you know, and that's something that we all have to find in our lives. You know, there's the story of, the family driving down the freeway, gets in a car wreck, and, the family's thrown from the vehicle. The father, you know, opens his eyes and sees that the car is on top of one of the kids. And does he think about whether or not he can lift the car? He doesn't. He runs over, and in one incredible feat of power, he lifts up that car, and the child, you know, pulls the child from the car. He has that emotional leverage, and that's a metaphor for something we all have to find. We have to find that emotional leverage that's going to drive us. But for me, my emotional leverage was unfocused. It was undirected, and it wasn't until I found that book, Think and Grow Rich, and I learned that emotional leverage is not enough. It has to be focused with a major definite purpose so that you know exactly what you're out to attain. And then, you know, obviously there's other pieces of the puzzle in this book that had to be put in place, but that emotional leverage absolutely was very important. Anyone else? Star 6, would love to hear from anyone who has some comments. Questions,
yeah,
discussion.
This is Roland from New York. Today,
hi, Roland.
First day I'm on the call, and it's absolutely awesome. It's a great call, and I would just like to know if there's a playback number. If I know the call was recorded, but what's the playback number?
Yes, it's the only difference in between the playback number and the dial-in number are the last four digits. And the playback number is 0990 on the last four digits instead of 0900.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
great
Roland.
Call.
Thanks for joining us. Really excited to have you on the line.
Hey, Bill, good. Doc Fran.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Good morning. I love listening to your story about triumphing over your temporomandibular disorder. Pain. That is exactly what I did for 25 years, is manage people who had either congenital defects, trauma, cancer, post-surgical deformities, and just wear and tear developing into muscle instability, muscle imbalance, and dysfunction. So it's neat when you do find the person who understands how to help you out of that cycle. And it was very inspirational for me this morning to relive your story vicariously. So thanks.
Well, Doc Fran, where were you when I needed you? at least you're in my life now, thank God. And I'm glad that it had and played its role. It's been a harrowing experience.
Yeah, well, the whole thing.
If anybody can understand it and understand, you know, the details, the really difficult details, and folks, you know, over that 15 years, I spent many, and Doc Fran can attest to this because he knows what I went through to a degree, of not being able to, if I would yawn, my jaw would lock. And then I would have to take my head and pound it on the counter, the kitchen counter, just to close it. And the pain that came from that, I mean, it was like somebody was taking a knife and shoving it in my skull. It was incredible, some of the things I went through that 15-year period. But I never gave up. I never stopped trying. Oh, sure, I had moments of despair and moments of total, you know, disgust. But you work through that, and then you figure out a way. And I was very fortunate. God graced me with this doctor that finally agreed that she could do something about it. So thank you very much, Doc Fran. That means a lot to me as well.
Well, the good news is, guys, is that fortunately not all of us have to go through what Bill has endured and triumphed over in order to get to the place that Bill is now. So you're very fortunate. You've made the first step simply by being here on the call. That is the important commitment. That is the important decision. And as they say, now it's our job. We have a choice. Implement what we've learned. Practice what we've learned. And enjoy the fruits of what both Paul and Bill and Mel and many others have learned through application and practice.
Words of wisdom, my friends. Doc Fran, thank you so much for your comments and being on the call. I know I speak for many people when I say we all love and appreciate and respect and admire you and your wisdom and philosophy. Thanks for having such a great impact on all of our lives. And that being said, folks, I'm going to go ahead and close out the call. I want to thank everybody for their comments. Words could never express my appreciation for the people on this call and the things that we're learning together from each other's experiences. And just want to challenge everybody, as we do at the close of every call, let's get out there and utilize this beautiful gift that we have called today. It's a beautifully wrapped present with ribbons and a bow on it, and we have the opportunity to unwrap it. And what's inside that gift is totally up to each of us on this line. So let's get out there and take advantage of the day that we have. Let's enjoy this gift we have called life, and let's make those choices, as Melvin pointed out, that are going to lead to a better future for all of us. I love you. I believe in you. I appreciate you. Let's get out there and make it a great day, and we'll see you back tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call.
God bless everybody.
Thank you.